Calling your attention this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Again, all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Father, I would ask that by Your grace, that Your Spirit would really instruct our hearts this hour. That we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that would embrace the truth of the Scripture. Father, I would pray that Your Spirit would do what no teaching or preaching can in and of itself. And that is that Your Spirit would give us personal insight and application and understanding. And may we leave here more knowledgeable and more passionate in our love for Jesus than when we came in. May we be ready, Lord, for that event of Your coming. May we be walking, Lord, in the fullness that You intend for us. And then, Lord, ascend into heaven, hearing You say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Someone has said that there are over 3,000 specific promises that are given in the Scriptures. Over 3,000 promises that deal with health and happiness, with peace and prosperity, with family and freedom, with finances and security, promise after promise after promise is given. 3,000 in number. Now, let me recommend to you a book over in the bookstore, the Jesus Person Pocket Promise Book. It's a little book. I've given away literally hundreds of them over the years, because all it is a listing of promises that are placed in categories that relate to certain needs that we have or situations that we're struggling through. And man, just to get the promise of God, the Word, it's worth its weight in gold. So if you don't have one of those in your possession or available to you at home, get one, the Jesus Person Pocket Promise Book. Because this book is loaded with promises, but it's interesting to me that most of the promises that people claim for themselves, their family, their personal struggles or situations are based upon an Old Testament formula that is, I think, very clearly seen in the book of Deuteronomy. If you would turn over there right now, keeping a finger in 2 Corinthians, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And as you find it, again, keep a marker in this text because we'll be looking at it again later on. Of all the promises in the Scripture, so many of them found in the Old Testament follow this formula. Verse 22. If you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. And you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the uttermost sea, shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Here we see the formula that is found over and over again in the Old Testament. So many of the promises that people embrace follow this formula seen clearly here. Look at verse 22. If you diligently keep these commandments, and then verse 23, then I will, the Lord says, drive out the problems that are before you. I'll do wondrous things in front of you. I'll take total care of you. If you will keep these commandments, then I will come through for you. Folks, this is the formula so frequently seen as it relates to the promises that Paul the Apostle is alluding to here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The promises that he's referring to, of course, are the promises of the Old Testament. That was the scriptures that they were studying in the early church. The New Testament, of course, was not yet fully written nor in circulation. So when Paul says the promises, he's referring to the Old Testament promises, and they follow this form. If, then, if, then, if, then. But therein lies the problem. Oh, I like the thens. But where the problem is with me relates to the ifs, you see. If I love the Lord with all of my heart and walk in all of His ways and cleave totally to Him, then the Lord is going to do wondrous things for me and through me and in me and to me. But the problem is the if. Do I love the Lord with all of my heart? Do I walk in all of His ways? Can I truly say, indeed, I deserve, Lord, to have You bless me today because I have done the ifs? Quite frankly, that's my problem. It's real iffy, to say the least. I don't. And frustration sets in because of my failure to meet the condition. I'm not doing the ifs, thus I cannot expect the thens according to this formula. If, then, if, then. I just fail miserably with the ifs. And sometimes when I may succeed, I find myself just as readily disqualified. For you see, when I do the ifs, there is this terrible tendency in me to have pride creep in. Ah, look at how I've obeyed all Your commandments today, Lord. Look at how I've loved You with all of my heart. Wow. Lord, certainly now, you see, You can bless me because I have done the ifs. Watch out. Because right then, pride has crept in. Kind of like that story of the frog. He's there in the pond, watching the drought of that summer go on. The water diminishes. The pond is becoming smaller and smaller. And the frog realizes, this is brutal. We'll soon have no water. I'll dry up. I'll croak. I'm in trouble. So he sees a couple of ducks over here and says, hey, what are you guys going to do when the last of the water is evaporated? Ducks say, no problem. will fly out of here, fly over the farmer's field to another pond a few miles away. Oh, you're so lucky, the frog said. You can do that, but me? I got it. Oh, I'm so brilliant. Listen, ducks, would you guys mind when you take off if you would place a stick between your bills? And I, with my mouth and with my strong tongue, will grab onto the stick and wrap my tongue around the stick for added security. And when you guys fly off, would you mind having a hitchhiker go along for the ride? No problem. And so the day comes. The last of the water evaporates. The ducks, they get a stick, place it between their bills. The frog opens his mouth and wraps his tongue there around that stick. And off the ducks go. The farmer who's out in the field looks up and sees these two ducks flying with a stick between their bills and a frog hanging on by his mouth. Ah, he's amazed. Wow, what a quack up, he says. Wow, whose idea was that? And the frog, so proud of his idea, said, mine. As he opened his mouth and took credit for what he thought was a brilliant idea, he splatted on the ground. You see, the scriptures say, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride will wipe you out. Pride will do you in. So when you're flying high spiritually, hey, look, I'm doing this. Isn't this ducky, you say? In reality, right then, at that moment, you have fallen into perhaps the most grievous sin, which is pride. And you end up croaking, disqualified from the promise. Absolutely. Now, this causes real consternation within me, because I love the promises of the Old Testament. But I realize, frustration. Because many times I don't do the ifs. And when I do the ifs, secondarily, pride creeps in, inevitably. Oh my. And I'm frustrated by the Old Testament covenants and promises now. That shouldn't surprise me. For you see, brothers and sisters, that was the purpose of the Old Testament all along. What? To frustrate me? Absolutely. The purpose of the Old Testament was to bring about a real frustration. I'll read to you from Galatians chapter 3, where Paul declares concerning the Old Testament, the law. Galatians 3, 24. Wherefore, he says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under such a schoolmaster. Galatians 3, 24 and 25. The purpose of the law was to teach you and teach me a lesson. That we're not righteous, that we fail in the if parts of the promises. Therefore, we cannot enjoy the thens, the blessings, because we have failed miserably. Oh, we realize, Lord, the ifs, the conditions are good and noble and right. But I have failed so miserably. And the Lord says, that's all I want you to see. That you cannot earn blessing. That you cannot earn salvation. That you cannot keep a standard of righteousness that would qualify you to receive the things I want to heap on you or do for you, you see. The law, the Old Testament, including the promises, the covenants, were all given inclusively as a schoolmaster to produce in you and produce in me a frustration I can't do it. Wish I could. I'd love to be a recipient of these blessings, but I failed miserably. That's the purpose of the law. Now, Old Testament. If then, if then, if then. But now Paul comes on the scene in our text in 2 Corinthians and says, no more if then, now it's yea and amen. Yea and amen. Yea and amen. And I love it. The Old Testament, if then. And I say, woe is me. But wait, the New Testament is not based upon a performance that causes me to say, woe is me, but it's based upon a person. Who? Paul says this, all the promises of God in Him, Christ Jesus, are yes and amen. It's not based upon a performance, but the promises are based upon a person, Jesus Christ. And all the promises are in Him, kept by Him, fulfilled through Him, and it's yea and amen. So instead of going, woe is me, I say, wow, it's He, Jesus. For you see, listen, this requires some thinking. If your mind is wandering, you're going to miss out on what I believe is a fundamental revolutionary understanding. Tune in, listen up, and take heed. Jesus has fulfilled all the ifs in the Old Testament. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 11 with me for a moment and put the name Jesus in there and see if it does damage to the text. For if, verse 22, Jesus diligently keeps the commandments which I command you to do them, to love Yahweh the Father, to walk in all His ways, to cleave to the Father, then will Yahweh the Father drive out all these nations before Jesus. Does that do any damage to the text? No. All the promises of God are in Him. Yes, Jesus did keep all the commandments. Jesus did love the Father perfectly. Jesus did walk in all of His ways flawlessly. Jesus did cleave to the Father intimately. Therefore, the thens that follow are given to Him. And we've seen that come to pass. And we'll see even more in the days ahead as prophecy is fulfilled. Well, you say, so what you're getting at, John, is all the promises of God in Jesus are yea and amen. In other words, yea, He did it. Amen, so be it. And then you say, big deal. Good for Him. I'm proud of Jesus. I'm thankful that all the promises were kept by Him. All of the promises are indeed in Him. Good for Him. But what about me? What about me, man? He did the ifs, so He gets the thens. But what about my situation? I've failed miserably in the ifs. So I guess there's no hope for the thens? Listen carefully. Jesus did do the ifs. Jesus does get the thens. And how does that apply to you? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, back a few pages to your left. For you see, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, The things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that, verse 29, no flesh should glory in his presence. God chose the foolish and weak people to show his grace, his beauty, his power, his glory. So if you're chosen, what does that make you? Foolish and weak, you see. To God be the glory only. Now, God gets all the glory, but, verse 30, of him, God, are you in Christ Jesus. He's chosen you. You're weak. You're foolish. Not a whole lot to offer. But he's chosen you. And now he's placed you, verse 30, in Christ, whom God has made unto us for wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Folks, check this out. But of him are you in Christ. You, weak and foolish people, failures, who couldn't do the ifs, and so shouldn't get the thens, you and me, by his grace and for his glory, when we opened up our hearts to Jesus, he placed us in Christ. Christ did the ifs. Where am I? In Christ. Who gets the thens? Jesus and me. Because of what he did, not because of what I do or fail to. He did the ifs perfectly. And I am in Christ, positionally. And Christ is made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Hey, I am in Christ, therefore, the victory that he won by doing the ifs, I now get to enjoy with him because I am in him. And I say, yay. And amen. The Old Testament says, if, then. The New Covenant says, yay, amen. Oh, wow. You mean because of what you did, Jesus, in fulfilling the ifs, I get to enjoy the thens because I'm in you? Oh, Lord, to you be the glory. And that's what Paul is saying, that according as it is written, verse 31, he that glories, let him what? Glory in the Lord. His grace and goodness. Let me illustrate to perhaps clarify it a bit. Suppose with me, I'm in Switzerland. I'm broke, out of money, my stomach is rumbling, and I find myself craving for a hot and now burger. And fries and a shake. And I've got $2 in my pocket, so that should do it at Hot and Now. And so I say, I'm going to Medford. I'm in Switzerland right now, but I know if I can get to Medford, if I can get to Medford, then I will have a burger and fries. And so I say, but how do I get there? I'm not sure about the way. So I call the airport and ask for the tower. And say, hey, I'm in Switzerland, and I'm looking forward to a burger, and I'm broke. Can you please give me directions about how to get back to Medford? Directions? Yeah. I need to get to Medford. What's your mode of transportation? I'm broke. I'm going to walk. You're going to walk? Do you realize there's mountains to climb and rivers to ford and a little pond called the Atlantic Ocean to get across? Yeah, but if I can do it, then I can have a burger. Well, go west, young man. Go west. Go west. Just good luck. Wait. The guy in the tower says, Listen, I don't know, you're such a fool, but something attracts me to you, and I'm interested in your plight and condition, and you're weak mentally, and you're foolish, obviously. But I'll tell you what, it just so happens that Swiss Air Jumbo Jet 747, Flight 203, is leaving in about an hour there from the airport at Geneva. And I tell you, we'll go ahead and reserve a seat in first class for you. So get on that Swiss Air Jumbo Jet and just kick back and we'll bring you into Medford. Really? Yep. Okay. So I get on the jet and I sit down. I'm not worried about maps. I'm not concerned about direction. I'm just resting because I'm in the jumbo jet. And the jumbo jet will make it. It's been designed aerodynamically. It's being guided by the instruction from the towers, you see. I can just kick back, and when we fly over, people are not going to say, "Hey, there's John Corson." They won't even see me in my foolishness, in my mental weakness, because I'm in the jumbo jet, you see. They'll see this big, fabulous jet flying through the sky, headed for Medford, the glorious destiny. But they will not notice me because I am in the jumbo jet. Folks, when you became a believer, we who were foolish and weak, the Lord says, "I have a seat reserved for you. Come in." When I open my heart to Him, He then invites me to be placed in Him positionally. And now I cruise, and all that I am enjoying presently is because of not my walking, climbing, swimming, but simply resting in what He did and my position in Him. It is a monumental day in the life of any believer when they suddenly see it's no longer if then. It's just yay and amen. All the promises of God are in Him. I put Jesus' name wherever I see an if in the Scriptures. And He did it. Therefore, I am in Christ. He is my jumbo jet, if you would. And I can just now receive the blessing, I'll arrive at the destiny because I am in Him. And I go, yay, amen. And let him that glories, glory in the Lord. I don't walk around here and say, "Well, look at me, look at the ifs I did today." No way. I say, in Him, yay, in Him, amen. Now each of you in your walk are either living in the old covenant if-then mentality and you're frustrated. "Well, why isn't it working? I had a 45-minute prayer time last Thursday. I read 4 chapters 2 months ago. I tithed 3 years ago. Why isn't the then's happened?" Because you're still trying the if-then formula. The law. It's no longer if-then. It's yay and amen. It's what He's done. And you just glory in Him. This is so freeing. You'll soar high. You'll walk straight. You'll be at peace when, like Paul, you say, "All the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen." So, go back. Wherever you find the Old Testament promises, put the name Jesus where you see the word if. And then, when you come to then, realize, I'm in Him. And He came through. Therefore, the whole plane arrives at this destiny. You see, I'm blessed. A second point I want you to consider before we break for the day. And that is this. All that I am enjoying is because of Him. not what I do or haven't done. Let me say that again. All that I'm enjoying is because of Him. But there's a second aspect, a second twist to this verse. Not all that I am enjoying is because of Him. Not the if then, just the yay and amen. But secondly, all that I am craving is found in Him. All the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. And I'm craving. Oh Lord, You've promised to provide bread. I need bread. I'm craving bread. All the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. What did He say? I am the bread sent from heaven. It's Me that you're craving. I thought I was craving finances, Lord, or help vocationally, or a relationship to develop with this gal, with this guy, whatever it might be. No. I am the bread. I am the vine. I am the way. I am the door. I am the water. It's Me that you're craving. All the promises of God are not something from Me, John. They are in Me. In Him, all the promises of God are yea and amen. And so, I'm on the 747. My stomach is growling still as I think about hot now. In 20 hours, I'll be there. But then I notice something interesting happens to me. As I'm there on the plane, sitting quite comfortably, not worrying about a thing, the destiny of the plane is out of my hands. I'm just in the jet. Then I notice the steward comes by. And he gives to me, as only Swiss Air does, an international newspaper, stereo headset, slippers for my feet, toothpaste and toothbrush. Then he starts to bring out the food on china, real silver. And I'm amazed. I say, I haven't seen this since I've flown Horizon. And I'm amazed. And the food starts coming. And the steaks. And the vegetables sautéed in butter. And the chocolate mousse that even thinking about it, my mouth starts to water. And they bring thing after thing gloriously prepared. And suddenly, you know, hot now is the farthest thing from my mind. I thought I wanted a burger. But when I find myself in the jumbo jet, I realize, my goodness, this is so much better. What I'm receiving in the jet right now. Here I thought it was just a way to get me to hot now. But in reality, I'm enjoying far more abundantly than anything I thought was possible. Just being on the jet. Being in the cabin, you see. That's what happens. Oh Lord, I need help. And as you talk things over with the Lord, you find that, you know what? Here I thought if that door would just open, I would be happy. But Lord, I realize now that You are the door. It's You that I've been craving for. I thought if the deal just went through, then Lord, I would be delighted. But it's You. You are the deal that I was craving for. And I'm finding in You all the promises of God are yes. It's in You. It's You. It's not something from You. It's just simply You. And Lord, whether the relationship develops or whether the job opens is secondary, comparatively irrelevant compared to what I'm discovering in You this morning, right now. Oh Lord, it's in You. In You. All the promises are found, yes, and amen. So brothers and sisters, think it through. understand all the promises of God. All that I am enjoying is because of Him. He's the if. I just get the then. But secondly, all that I'm really craving is found in Him. He is the bread and the door and the satisfaction of my soul. And I find that in the jet of Jesus Christ, I'm satisfied. And I say, yay. And I say, amen. Yes, so be it, Lord. It's in You, you see. One more story and then we are done. True story. A number of years ago, a man wanted to bring his family over to the land of opportunity, America. He was living in real poverty in Scotland. He knew it would take a real effort to get enough money together to buy the fare on the boat to come over to this great land. After years of scrimping, after a real effort in saving, he finally scrounged enough money together to buy himself and his wife and his two children tickets on a huge ocean liner that would leave from Scotland to America. Because it cost him just about everything, he had not a lot left to buy provision for the trip. So he simply bought some cheeses and some crackers and put them in a knapsack. And he and his wife and his two kids boarded that day and set sail across the Atlantic. Well, the journey was longer than what it was supposed to be. And he had sort of miscalculated. And after about day 13, he looked and saw that there was no crackers left for it. His kids, his wife, himself. And the cheese had gone moldy. It had gone bad. A few days later, with nothing to eat, he could see that his kids were distressed greatly, hungry, body weight dropping. And they would sit there on the deck of this liner, hungry and hurting. And they would see all around them other passengers, banqueting meal after meal after meal as they do on those ocean liners. And he watched his little kids as their eyes got as big as saucers and their mouth watered. And he put away that Scottish pride that was such a part of him, and finally he went to the steward there and said, I hate to ask this. I'm embarrassed about this. We've been eating crackers and cheese for the journey, but we've been out for now 3-4 days. We see so much food all around us. Is there any way that you could save a few of the scraps and let my kids have something to eat? They're really hungry. The steward looked and said, "You want me to save the scraps to feed your kids?" "Yes." "Did you buy a ticket to come on this ship?" "Yes." "Your wife?" "Certainly." "Kids?" "Absolutely. What do you think I am?" "Well, if you bought a ticket, all the food is yours to enjoy freely. It's included in the price, you see." And this guy, this Scotsman, was astounded and amazed. And they ran for the table and they dove on in. A lot of Christians, a lot of us, are like that Scotsman.
"Well, maybe I can get some crumb of blessing. I know I haven't prayed the way I should or been as good as I could. Maybe some crumb you could roll my way, Lord, because I know my ifs have been iffy. I've messed up miserably."
And the Lord would say to you today, "Hey, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come, buy and eat. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your soul for that which satisfieth not? But come, and let now your soul delight itself in fatness." The Lord says to you and to me today, "Hey, The price is paid. You're on board. You're in the jet. You're on the ship. Jesus Christ has brought you in. You are in Him, and He paid the price. He did the if. You now climb up and enjoy the thens. But as you do, you're going to discover that what you were really craving all along is just Him. And you're going to be surprised and delighted that in Christ, all of your need will be met and your soul will be satisfied, delighting in fatness. Folks, let he who has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. Break away from the if-then mentality. Like Paul, just say, yay, amen. In Christ, all the promises are fulfilled and all of the promises are found. Yea and amen. Let's pray, shall we? Oh Lord, forgive me, forgive us for trying through our own efforts or religiosity to earn blessings when you have provided all in Christ so graciously, so freely. Father, for any of us who perhaps are still struggling, trying to prove something, may this be the day when we let go and just celebrate what you have done, the victory that you have won. Bless, Father, this congregation. Set us free. Help us to take advantage of what you have already purchased. And help us to glory in thee and only in thee. And we do that right now. We say yea. Blessed be you, Father. Amen. So be it, Lord Jesus.